Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, it turns out a little harder to fill that Kentucky men's basketball job than we may have thought. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Looks like Kentucky closing in on Mark Pope, who obviously played for the team, won a championship with the team, and is now the head coach at BYU, but not for long. Scott Drew from Baylor, Perloff, turned this job down, which
that is
was a
amazing.
Little surprising.
Amazing. If I told you 20 years ago, about 10 years ago, 7 years ago, that the head coach of Baylor basketball, keep in mind, would turn down the Kentucky job, you would have said, I'm insane. Because this is the difference between the history of the two programs could not be more different. I think it's a new era for Kentucky, and I don't think that's really a good thing necessarily.
Well, they're just going to have to adjust to the times like everyone else. And maybe this is a little bit of a wake-up call, I would say, not for the school, but at least for the fan base. Like, listen, there are challenges that come with this program, and I'm not saying you have to lower your expectations, but you might just have to have a little patience. And I know the patience totally worn out with John Calipari, the welcome wore out, all of that wore out with Cal. But now with Mark Pope, I think this was a smart move for them. Bring in somebody who's got history with the program. The former players are all going to be on board with this. And I think because he has that sort of connection to Kentucky, maybe the fan base says, all right, let's give him a second to try to build something after Cal's gone.
You know, it's just a reminder to me. It is so hard to replace a legend. Obviously, I don't think Syracuse is ever going to. It's going to take a long time for Syracuse to get back
Definitely.
To peak Boeheim. I don't think Duke is. They may never get back to peak Coach K.
North Carolina's
had success, but
That's
I don't.
True.
I mean, they have not been as consistently. I don't think they're going to be as successful. It's just the landscape of college basketball. I think Calipari, I think there's going to be a void here. Kind of like what were the down years? Billy Gillespie was a the famous bad hire there, but Tubby Smith had some success. Then he had some downtime. I think this is going to be a downtime for Kentucky, and I think it's really hard to follow up a force of nature like John Calipari was there.
Well, I don't know, because I think, again, the fan base was ready for someone new. So it's not like you're getting rid of somebody who still has, like, you know, all this favor and everyone still loves this guy and wanted him to be there. We hear from, you know, people call our show like Big Dave and others who, you know, they were ready for Cal to go. They were sick of how he didn't change with the time and how college basketball had changed. They didn't like the coaching decisions. They didn't like two NBA-bound players coming off the bench. They didn't like Cal getting outcoached by the likes of Oakland and St. Peter's, and they didn't like anything about it. So in some ways, I think Mark Pope kind of comes into this, and I'm not saying the expectations are low because it's still Kentucky.
There's one expectation. It's a title or bust. There's no, even making the Final Four for Kentucky is not going to satisfy anyone. So how is he possibly going to do that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that maybe at least in the beginning here, while he's trying to, you know, put his stamp, Mark Pope is, put his stamp on the Kentucky program, you might just have to, it can't be Final Four or bust or championship or bust in year one or year two. You have to give this a second when you move on from anyone who's been, you know, Cal was there for 15 years. Like, it, you become really, your culture becomes embedded, and now you have to kind of change that. And I hope the fan base is a little patient, because he's a good coach. I think it's an exciting way to play basketball, and I think overall they'll like it if they give it a chance.
So you're saying Kentucky fans should be patient. That's like saying Alabama football fans should be patient. New York Yankees fans should be patient. Duke basketball fans should be patient. These fans, it seems like to me, during this coaching search, have not been patient. It felt like you know, give me Danny Hurley. That's the vibe I got from this whole coaching search. So maybe Mark Pope will be fine, and maybe he's a better X's and O's coach than John Calipari. It's just going to be really, really hard. Calipari had so much talent there and only won one title. I think Pope, the modern formulas have old guys, right? Like, it's going to be really hard for him to break through here. I feel bad for the program. I just don't see them getting back to where they were.
I can't write them off. I can't.
You just said 2 years. That's going to feel like a decade in Kentucky basketball terms.
Everyone might have to grow up a little bit, you know?
And
the same thing is going on with Alabama. You mentioned Alabama football. You mentioned Duke basketball, Syracuse basketball. All these teams that move on from these legendary coaches, it is hard. What Hubert Davis did going to his first Final Four the year after Roy Williams retires, that is not the norm. So you got to be a little patient and understand what's going on. And I think I don't say the boring hire, because I don't want to disrespect Mark Pope like that, but Rick Pitino, that would have been great for people like you and me.
I was about to say.
But you're really going to bring Pitino back? Give me a break. How many scandals? I mean, come on. And how old do you have to be? I'm not trying to be ageist here. I'm just saying, don't you want someone who could be around for the next 15 years for your program? Pitino's not going to be able to do that.
Well, I can't take my content hat off on this one. Rick Pitino would have been so funny. It would have been unbelievable. We would have at least enjoyed it. No, I don't think Pitino was obviously going to be a logical hire, although a fun hire. But you're telling me you really think that if you're a Kentucky fan, and I'd like to hear from them, you're not saying, oh, okay, Mark Pope, he was a good player back in the day. I think they expected a Danny Hurley type. And honestly, you think that UConn is the bluest of blue bloods. I think Kentucky be like, should have, at least a few years ago, I think they could have made a compelling case to get anybody there. Now I think that time is gone.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So that is part of the big story today. EJ, you got something?
No? Yeah, well, I was just thinking, you know, we talk about this in wrestling sometimes, where sometimes the job, well, the wrestler makes the title, and sometimes the title makes the wrestler.
Okay.
I feel like Kentucky may be a situation where the job makes the guy, and you don't necessarily need a guy to make the job.
Right.
So Kentucky has resources.
Cal Perry was a big star. The guy makes the job.
But if you think about, like, Billy Clyde Gillespie and Tubby Smith were not huge mega names when they got hired to be the head coach at Kentucky. So I feel like this is a kind of job where you could hire a guy who, yeah, maybe is a little more up and coming, but the resources they'll have, the support that they'll have, they could make Mark Pope legendary. They could make him famous because of what they have in place. So I feel like it is going to be disappointing for Big Blue Nation to get a guy that's not as well known in terms of being a head coach. Of course, they know him as a player. But this is a situation where they have plenty of people and plenty of resources to make this thing work.
But it's funny. I feel like they've lost some of their resource edge.
Because of NIL?
Of NIL, it just seemed like, I thought that Calipari was kind of hinting like, hey, you're not all in on NIL. Like some, you know, Calipari's like in Arkansas and say, wow, I got all these NIL funds. It doesn't feel like Kentucky is out resourcing people like they used to. All these SEC schools are spending tons of money on their rosters.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things like Nick Saban with Alabama. It's like, they're going to find the money. They have somebody, they're going to find the money. The boosters will be there when it matters. And let's be honest, you're talking about Kentucky is like sort of championship or bust or Final Four or bust. How about get to the second weekend? And I think the fan base, I know, but
that's going to mean nothing.
Let's do that.
I hear what you're saying in theory, but that's going to get tired quickly. Maybe you get past the Sweet 16 once, that's good, but they're going to be title or bust. This is Kentucky basketball we're talking about.
Yeah, but you know what? You say it's Kentucky basketball, and I agree with you. It's a special job and a special place in sports. But to your point before, you know, it's not like people were running for the job, running to it. You know, I think a lot of that was circumstances. Like, is Danny Hurley really going to leave when he just won two titles and thinks they're going to win a third?
Unlikely. You
know, Billy Donovan, the NBA, how much, quote unquote, easier is it for him? He gets to be in Chicago. GM picks the players. They can be mediocre. He's not going to get fired. It's awesome for him. He's got a great setup.
And one quick point I want to make as well in terms of, you know, job making the guy. We think about some of the great coaches we have today or we've had recently.
Yep.
Jay Wright was at Hofstra. You know, Mark Few was
recently. You said recently. What year did he go to Villanova?
No, I'm saying he went to Villanova. He went from Hofstra to Villanova.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying that was a long time ago.
No, but I'm saying if you're looking for a guy who's going to be one of these top coaches, Scott Drew was a relatively unknown, and then he makes Barrel into what it is. Mark Few was an assistant to Dan Monson. Like, yes, you have some of these guys like Bill Self, who was at Illinois, but you have coaches. Some of the best we have in the game today are not these guys that were at some big school that they went to another big school. So there's a chance that perhaps this is the better recipe to get a guy who you can keep long term.
I hear you.
855-212-4CBS. I think there's another part of this too. In this NIL era where the money, ask any coach or listen to any coach, like the money is really the number one thing. Yes, tradition. Yes, being part of the program. Yes, fitting in with your morals and values. All that stuff matters, but the money also matters. I don't think you have to be a star coach to recruit anymore. Like the star of a Coach K or Roy Williams might not hold the same appeal when it's more about the bottom dollar than it is about who you're playing for.
Yeah, so Mark Pope got, by the way, $5.5 million is a report number. It's not blowing anyone away. I think the funny thing is the SEC is crazy right now.
They are.
Because
it's a
basketball conference. I think you see, you know, you got Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes in this and Nate Oates in this conference. Where does Mark Pope fit in that list? It's going to be tough, way tougher than when Calipari left Memphis and came to Kentucky.
855-212-4227 is the number to call. Adrian is in Kentucky. Adrian, hello.
No, I'm in Maryland.
Oh, Adrian, this is Adrian in Maryland. I thought we had a second Adrian calling.
Hey, TJ, guys. Hey, this is my question. I told EJ. I know. Roy Williams retired, and Hubert Davis was on his staff. But does Kentucky not have like some assistance that would have stayed where Kentucky could have said, "Hey, we'll give you guys the head coaching job," or did he take all those assistants? That's what's bothering me here. They seem like they need to go out and make this big splash when they could have hired somebody in-house, just like Carolina did. You know, it wasn't a big splash. Everybody was like, what, Hubert Davis? And look what Hubert Davis is doing. He knows what goes on in the building. He knows everything. And he does the recruiting. So why go out of the building?
No, Adrian, it's a great point. Good to talk with you. Adrian in Maryland, of course. But talking about Kentucky – but here's the thing. Cal had lost some assistants recently. And EJ, who's decked out head to toe in New York Knicks gear today, would know that because wasn't Johnny Bryant was one of the big guys.
Kenny Payne,
was one of the big guys who was with Cal forever and then ended up going to the Knicks.
Went to the Knicks and then went to Louisville.
Right. So I think there had been a little bit of turnover. I mean, some of the guys who he's had forever, like Orlando Antigua, who you might not even know his name, but if you saw his face, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the guy who's been sitting next to Cal for all those years. There were a lot of assistants. I think they instead went with a former player who had head coaching experience.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But again, I come back to the fact that, I mean, do we all think Nate Oates was in the discussion? I think there was a report they would have paid his $18 million buyout. The fact that you couldn't lure Nate Oates or Scott Drew is – that really says a lot to me.
Do you think that this is this makes Calipari look better or worse that they couldn't find someone of equal star power in the coaching circles to replace him right away?
Well, it feels a little worse in the sense that they let him go. They let him walk out the door with no idea who was replacing him. Because I don't believe that Calipari was eager to go to Arkansas. I think he knew he was on the hot seat, right?
Yep.
And there was a report from a longtime Kentucky Wildcats reporter that he came back to Kentucky and said, this is what Arkansas is offering, do you want to match? And they said, no, thank you. So I think they were eager to get out of this, and they were obviously, it's been widely talked about, very happy that they didn't have to pay Cal's buyout. I think Cal did them a huge favor.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I think in a way it makes him look a little bit worse, but I do think next year he's going to look better because I think he's going to whoop them.
I think this makes Cal look pretty good. I mean, because he gets to leave on his own circumstances, whether, you know, you might... I mean, they put out a press release that said he was going to coach all of next year, and then 2 weeks later he says, actually, I'm leaving.
So does it feel like he was leaving the way he wanted to, though?
Well, probably not, because he said he wanted to be a lifetime at Kentucky, but at the same time, he finds a pretty cushy landing spot for Arkansas, where if he goes to a Final Four, they'll build a statue, and he's going to have a lot of deep pockets, and it's not like people were running to replace it, because I think part of it is filling his shoes, you know? And he might have had some bad tournament exits recently, but you are following up a guy who did make four Final Fours and won a title. So I think you would say, wow, not so easy to replace me, huh? You wanted me out so bad. You only want to push me out the door. Well, you know, grass is always greener or bluer, I guess. That job.
I got gotcha.
That joke.
Not really.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do. EJ is king for a day, so we're all doing punishments around here. Perloff already had to sing. I've got to watch a movie this weekend that I don't want to. We've got updates on the future for LeBron James. We'll do that next. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. So I don't really follow my alma mater that much, Dartmouth College. We're not that good at sports. So although we are unionizing and changing the entire amateur sports world, regardless, I got a headline yesterday that definitely caught my attention. So they're giving out honorary degrees, and there are two athletes who are getting honorary degrees.
From Dartmouth?
They're not from Dartmouth. You give honorary degrees to people that didn't go to the honorary degrees.
Right, right.
So meaning you didn't graduate there.
Right, right.
So if you could guess either of them, one is the commencement speaker, and I'll give you a couple hints.
Wait, there are two athletes?
Two athletes are getting honorary degrees. One of them is probably the smartest athlete of our generation. The other is the most unexpected, to me, commencement speaker of a famous athlete. And I guarantee you will not get the speaker.
You.
No. Darker, are you kidding me?
For which role?
They usually have like Obama, I think, has done it recently.
Who is it? Bartolo Colon? Bartolo Colon. Yeah. I would not have thought that.
Smart athlete.
Who's the smartest athlete of our time?
If you think
is
about
it Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard situation?
Josh Dobbs?
No, you're definitely, you guys are both in the right area. You might not remember this guy, but
Roll?
Again, very, very close. Has often been mentioned with Myron Roll. You might not remember this guy. He was, I'll give you a hint, Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, the guy who was the John, he was the mathematician.
Yes, the MIT mathematician.
What's his name?
John Urschel.
Urschel.
Right, HBO Real Sports did the same exact story they did on Myron Roll about him. He's this genius who played lineman for the Ravens. It was great. He's getting an honorary degree. I have no idea why. But the speaker...
Is it someone a little more famous than John Urschel?
Way more famous.
Okay.
I will give you, it is an A-plus list athlete.
Current?
Recently retired.
Tom Brady.
It's not Tom.
Oh. Drew Brees.
Not Drew Brees.
A football player?
International.
Ooh.
Messi? He's not retired.
No. Roger Federer.
Hideki Matsui.
How'd you get that?
It's Roger Federer.
Roger Federer is our commencement speaker at Dartmouth. Isn't that wild?
That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds really cool. I would listen to Roger Federer for 20 minutes.
Do you think he's ever been to New Hampshire? Why?
He's getting an honorary degree. I don't know. Maybe there's a court up there. I have no idea.
No, there's got to be the president or somebody, the board of trustees. Someone's got to be a tennis fan. And this is how they're meeting Roger Federer.
Or it's Anna Wintour or something. It. Yeah.
What?
Roger Federer.
I think he would have great advice for graduates. You know, keep your eye on the ball.
Catch your feet
underneath. Yeah, set your feet.
Don't play on clay if Rafael Nadal is out
there.
Yeah.
You
know he's going to go high to your backhand.
I actually have no idea what goes on in the daily life of Roger Federer. Not the slightest clue.
I always thought it was really interesting that some of the European athletes, not all of them, but some of them, would drink like a glass of red wine like hours before their match. Like Federer would have a lunch at like noon or something and then play center court at the U.S. Open at like 8 o'clock at night. And I know one glass of wine's not going to do anything. It's just different mentality.
Pretty cool, though. That's way better than any. I think those are always hot and boring. I hate graduations. I think Federer's a great catch.
That's awesome.
I mean, Messi would have been cool, too.
He's not actually retired, though. I forgot.
Yeah. Does Messi, he couldn't really, would he give a speech in English, though? That I'm not so sure about either.
Yeah, get a translator. What could go wrong?
What could go, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
Just don't do it on casino night.
It's actually coming live to you from the Turning Stone Casino. So that was his choice. Bogus has headlines. Hello.
Do I now?
Do you? Do you want me to keep going with, I've got a headline.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Not to be on your turf here. I'm not trying to be on your corner. But there's some rumblings, and I almost didn't even want to bring this up because I didn't want Perloff to get too excited today. But there are some rumblings, according to Bleacher Report, that LeBron James may be willing to relocate to the East Coast, and perhaps Philadelphia is the place he's looking for.
Okay, I've fallen for this before. Tell me more.
One Eastern Conference executive said, if anyone would do it, it'd be Daryl. And by do it, they meant draft Bronny to get to LeBron.
Well, that's what I don't understand. Would 27 other teams draft Bronny to get to LeBron? You need a Daryl Morey? Don't everybody want their team to draft LeBron, Bronny? Well, don't the Knicks want to draft Bronny?
Yeah,
I don't want Bronny.
Why? Who cares? He sits on the bench and LeBron comes.
Yeah.
Well, also, it's not going to be this year. So Bronny's going back to college, right? Do we know? Actually,
no,
we
don't
know
that.
He's going to do yet. He's in the draft, but he also is in the portal.
Oh, right. That's what it was. He's in the portal. These days, you can actually declare for the draft and then take it back and go back to college.
Yes.
I'm not getting my hopes up. Do you guys really think, if you had a handicapper, what are the odds that LeBron really comes to Philadelphia?
Well, I know what Daryl Morey likes to do as the GM. He's someone who puts stars together. That's it.
Name the stars that he's ever gotten together.
Russell Westbrook with James Harden. Harden with Dwight Howard.
James Harden with the ghost of Dwight Howard.
Joel Embiid with James Harden. Joel Embiid
What's the common ingredient here?
James Harden. But again, he's tried to put every superstar under the sun.
Yeah.
And that's, and we're not saying it worked. We're saying he did it.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah.
Did you really just say, tell me when Maury's done that?
He's always Harden. It's Harden.
Right, but he's all he's done to put stars together. And like the last three are for the team that you root for.
Wait, he has a
Jimmy, Jimmy Butler one? That wasn't him.
That was
he got rid of Butler. Or actually, Butler was already gone. This is not happening. LeBron is not coming to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that right now.
We can all hope and pray. Bogus has headlines.
By the way, I'll bet you, I'll do two bets. Brady's never coming back, and LeBron is staying in L.A. Why won't the Lakers just draft Bronny, just get it over with, stick him on the bench, and keep LeBron?
I kind of think that, too. I think if anyone's going to do it, it's just the Lakers who, like, obviously, right? Everyone would understand what this is. The 76ers crowd, by the way, would be merciless on both of them if it doesn't work. If you draft Bronny and get LeBron, and then LeBron somehow finally does show his age or something happens, the last place I'd want to be if I were either of them would be Philadelphia. That could do major psychological damage to Bronny.
Grab your popcorn.
Bronny won't even be on the court. He's not a factor here.
He'll be on the bench, guys can throw batteries from any place.
I don't think, listen, the Sixers saw Ben Simmons come and go. Joel Embiid's been on and off the court. The expectations are so low. I don't think they really care.
What? Ben Simmons needed a security detail when they played in Philadelphia. What are you talking about?
I mean,
the expectations are low. What are you smoking today?
In Philly right now, there is nobody's thinking deep run for the Sixers. It's just not a thing anymore.
Have you met our boss?
Yeah, excuse me?
Who runs the number one 76ers podcast?
Spike, every day in the break room, guarantees me he's like, the Sixers are going nowhere. He has been saying that consistently for 8 years.
All right. Well, that we can agree to disagree on that. You can agree with this.
Yeah.
It wouldn't exactly be great for Bronny's mental if he gets the clear nepotism draft pick and then goes to Philly. And if anything even goes wrong a little bit, the fan base is going to rip them both mercilessly.
I disagree with that. Because the level of care is not, it's nothing like Eagles care. It's just not the same thing.
But they've turned on every guy that has screwed them. They turned on Ben Simmons. They turned on James Harden.
What was that? Those guys are creeps. But everybody turned on them. Anyone who has a brain would turn on those guys, not Philadelphia fans.
No, but those went poorly. So to Maggie's point, goes poorly, if they could turn on guys who were former All-Stars, you think they're not going to turn on a nepotism hire? Of course
they would. There's no turning on James Harden. He was terrible. Like, same thing happened in Brooklyn. Like, you don't turn on James Harden. He turns on you before. But here's the other thing. I disagree with you guys. You don't think there's a bunch of teams that would draft Bronny to stash him on the bench? I feel like that would be a much more common thought.
I think that there's probably a lot of teams that think that LeBron's kind of blowing smoke here, that he'll say, I'll go wherever Bronny gets drafted, and then when it's actually Charlotte, he's not actually coming.
What about Atlanta or Indiana? You don't think he would do that?
Think he would go to Indiana. Atlanta, maybe. Atlanta, at least, is like a big city with production, and it's like L.A. and, in a lot of ways.
I think it's also about a championship, too. Like, he went back to Cleveland because he saw, Kyrie's there. I can win a title. No, I think it's way more wide open than that. What's the harm in drafting Bronny? Even Philly fans would be like, we know why you're there. Like, they're not going to kill little Bronny. Little nice Bronny.
You guys kill everybody.
You said Ben Simmons and James Harden. Those are the two worst players.
You boo Embiid.
Right.
And no, you, they don't really boo Embiid.
All right.
Bogus, boo Embiid. Get out of here.
Well, the, we have to give facts on this show.
Yeah. Where's the jail in the Wells Fargo Center? That's somewhere in the bottom
no.
like Veterans Stadium.
And it's you guys, packed every night.
You guys do not understand Philadelphia sports. It's all about the Eagles.
Well,
it's all about the Eagles. So that's why you can't get to me on
Philly's
it.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
tell
nice.
Ben Simmons the security detail next time the Nets play against the Sixers.
Wait, do the Nets fans like Ben Simmons? Everybody hates Ben Simmons, right?
Well, we're talking about the fear what? And the psychological damage that can happen, which, I mean, if there's an exhibit A of psychological damage that Philadelphia could do to an athlete, Ben Simmons is that guy.
We're told not to wear jerseys of opposing teams in the stands in Philadelphia.
At a football game.
That's ridiculous. It shouldn't be allowed. That shouldn't be allowed.
It's a little much with you guys.
It's very, very much.
Right for football, but that's football. That's life.
I should be
who
able to
cares?
Go to a Viking jersey out of or Jet jersey if I wanted to.
Perloff told me when we were going to WrestleMania, double-checked which license plate I had on my car.
Right.
Because he said if it's New
options?
York, I would have gotten keyed. Which I don't have New York, I have New Jersey, but ironically, you have a New York license plate, and if your car got keyed, even though you're a huge Philly fan, that would have been ridiculous.
That's why I parked away from the stadium. But
now that makes sense why I had to walk 30 minutes to the stadium with him. I was like, why are we parking?
Why am I in Delaware?
Yeah. Why are we going across the Ben Franklin Bridge to get to Lincoln Financial
this
Field?
This is why he wants to go to Chicago to get to San Antonio, because he's used to being as far away from where he wants to go as possible.
You guys have to understand. They're the Eagles, and then everything else is a minor league team there. You, of course, you're not going to wear a Giants. You can wear a Knicks jersey into a Sixers game. No one's going to blink.
That can't be true.
Well, they're nice. It's a totally different
dynamic. I have friends who can confirm
totally
that's not true.
It's so different.
All right, we've hit our Philadelphia quotient for today. What's next?
Have we? The story was finished in Philadelphia, and just like the end of Rocky II, the ultimate underdog became a champion. Still getting goosebumps.
Wait a minute. What the hell
Michael
is going on
Cole.
Around here?
Wait, what's going on?
Hold on. That's not sports. What did you just do?
Whoa.
Well, it is sports on today because for King of the Day, EJ here has decided that Andrew Bogus's update will be a WWE update from this past weekend of WrestleMania.
Oh, God. Okay, so EJ's king for a day because he got the most games right in the NCAA tournament, our March Madness bracket. So now we all pay punishments. Perloff sang earlier today. If you missed that, you can always rewind on the absolutely free-to-download Odyssey app.
This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks.
Just a slice. I have to watch a Marvel movie that I do not want to watch because I hate comic book movies. So thank you, EJ. My weekend's ruined. And now Bogus has to do an update that is all WrestleMania related. You hate wrestling.
I don't hate wrestling. I hate people who think wrestling is real. Hey, guys. So that was Michael Cole, WWE on the call. Cody Rhodes, the son of the legendary Matt Holliday, defeating of legendary Dusty Rhodes, defeating Roman Reigns to become the new undisputed Universal Champion. Rhodes did it with the help of the likes of John Cena, The Undertaker, Jey Uso, and friend of the show, Seth freaking Rollins, all named I learned roughly 5 minutes ago. The win gives Rhodes his first world title with the company and ends the 1,316-day championship reign of Roman Reigns. That was the fourth longest title reign in WWE history. Rhodes, now you remember, won that match under bloodline rules, stipulations that I still don't really understand, but were set in place because of the results from night one of WrestleMania. Now, with only EJ in attendance because Maggie craved a stale Wawa cheesesteak and baby Perloff needed to go to bed, Rhodes and Rollins were defeated by Reigns and his cousin, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, in a tag team match.
Wow. Bogus delivering this deadpan is the best part of it. If you're just tuning in, EJ's king for a day, which means Bogus has to deliver an all WrestleMania sports update.
And there's so much left.
Some great writing, too.
Wait, how about Can we fast forward a little? We got Tiger on the course? Okay.
On Monday night's edition of Raw, The Rock indicated while he will be out of action for a while to probably shoot the 57th sequel of Fast and the Furious.
No one's going to watch.
He would eventually come back to avenge his cousin's loss.
And The Rock comes back, Cody. Whether you're champion or you're not champion, The Rock is going to come back for you. So, Cody Rhodes, your story with Roman Reigns is over, and you did it. But our story has just begun.
Nobody Ooh. Pauses for drama like The Rock.
He's got to be in traction for like a couple days. There's no way that 2 nights of wrestling must have taken a huge toll on his body.
What was he doing during that? What happened during that?
Took off his sunglasses. Let him know how serious he was.
Oh, gotcha.
No people's eyebrow or anything. Looking right in the eyes.
He's probably shot 3 films since that was a week ago. He's probably already got 2 things in the can already. And he's running the UFL. Isn't he the commissioner of the UFL?
The owner.
Wait, hold on. It's like, I got these sunglasses. Like, can I do it?
Nope. You can't.
Hey.
You're welcome, YouTube.
Another key title change over the weekend. A new world heavyweight champ was crowned because why wouldn't we have more titles to give out?
Oh, my God.
He's coming. Senor Money in the Bank. Damian Priest is here.
Damian Priest running to the ring and with the contract.
And Punk is beating the hitches. The briefcase on McIntyre's face.
Damian Priest, a briefcase only on Raw. Damian Priest cashed in his Money in the Bank contract to beat a distracted Drew McIntyre with a South of Heaven chokeslam to claim the World Heavyweight title. Priest earned the contract by securing the Money in the Bank briefcase in a ladder match last summer.
By the way, this is bogus. Executing a punishment, if you will, that EJ has deemed he has to do because EJ is king for a day. This is an all WrestleMania themed update. Also, South of Heaven is a nice euphemism. Like, where OJ's going. Go ahead.
It's starting to hurt too, by the way. Yeah. He is just the second WWE star to cash in the briefcase to win a world title at WrestleMania. I'd like to think, guys, that this show is based on hustle, loyalty, and respect. But WWE will soon be without the man who made that phrase famous.
When that time is gone, that means that it's done. I'm actively trying to craft that path right now. So I've put a line in the sand of myself for 50, and I honestly think it's going to be before that. There's your breaking news.
Hold it.
I'll be 47 in a few weeks.
Oh, so we got time right. Still.
You got about 700, about 1,000 days.
Who counts down to 50 by the day?
Wait, who was that? Sorry, Cena?
John Cena.
That was John Cena on the Pat McAfee Show, the leader of C Nation, saying he will retire from in-ring competition within the next 3 years. Cena is just one title win away from becoming the only, and how is this possible, 17-time world champion in history, but has not won a singles belt since 2017.
Please tell me it's over.
I mean, it's easy to win 16 world championships, but 17, no one could do that.
Also, this is such a funny thing about professional wrestling. This is the all-wrestling update that Bogus has to do to pay off a punishment to EJ. That, like, you're basically like, all right, I got to draw a line in the sand. 50 years old. 50.
That's probably when you're allowed out of your contract.
Yeah, probably.
Finally, some final housekeeping here. The WWE draft, and this is where I quit. Anyway, it will take place April 26th and 29th.
Oh,
Pete
really?
Can't go to these remote broadcasts either. NXT champion Ilya Dragunov and NXT women's champ Roxanne Perez, seriously, how many titles are there, have both officially declared for the draft, and we thank them in advance for their service overseas. Guys, back to you.
Wow. Do you think, what do you think gets a higher rating, the WNBA draft? Or the?
What are we drafting?
Drafting talent to the show.
From where? Oh, NXT is a different circuit?
Well, NXT is the development, but also the stars on Raw and SmackDown can be drafted to a different show. So we're putting all the wrestlers in the pool, and they're doing a draft.
Yeah.
By the way, John Cena, I just looked up. He's appearing in 5 movies this year on top of that.
Do you remember him from the Oscars?
Yes.
Or nothing?
Yeah, how...
totally naked at the Oscars.
The Rock's got like 6 movies this year. How is this all happening? What are these people... How is this all going down? How do you win a title and do 3 films in a year?
I mean, how long does the wrestling stuff really take you?
I'm wondering that.
You get a little promotion. You get in the ring for 25 minutes. I mean, I'm making it out to be a lot simpler than it is.
Is it, though?
Well, the last time The Rock tried to do it, he popped his groin and didn't come back for another 10 years to wrestle, basically.
I get it.
Is that what happened?
No, he lost to Cena, and he popped his groin in the match. And
what does that mean, pop your groin?
He tore his groin. Torn groin muscle, yeah. And
I don't even want to know what you thought it meant.
Just know he was in pain. Let's just call that.
Back on Chippendales?
Yeah. He was in pain. So that was because he had not been wrestling for a year.
Can I ask one more question? Did The Rock, I feel like when we saw The Rock in Las Vegas at that press conference at the Super Bowl, I feel like he got a lot more in shape by WrestleMania. Is that possible?
Apparently he was training. WWE sent him 2 rings. He was training every day. That he wasn't at Raw or SmackDown. He was training every day to get ready for this
likely
match.
Story.
The skepticism on Maggie's face.
The face Maggie's made when I said that they sent him 2 rings. He was training every day.
Why would he need 2 rings?
Exactly.
That's a great question.
Okay, this is the Rock.
Come on.
I think my eyes are going to get stuck in the back of my head.
You should see that eye roll. That was a hard eye roll when you said 2 rings.
The 2 rings is ridiculous. But the other part is he's got to get in shape. It's The Rock we're talking about. This is not exactly someone who let themselves go.
Look, Maggie, ring shape is different than actor shape, okay?
Sure. I think so.
Different pliabilities.
They're both acting.
You need to be in a different physical form.
But again, whether he weighs 250 or 550, if someone goes The Rock's winning, he's going to win.
But the match has got to be good.
Him up, I guess.
I mean, you try to run the ropes. I know you can't.
I just thought it was really funny. It's because The Rock is someone who really fluctuates. The guy's
actually said to EJ, I'm like, wow, The Rock looks a little, I don't know,
extra
a little dad bod at that Vegas thing. I will pull visual evidence of this and show you guys.
There is nobody who is more, I don't know there's no one who holds athletes' bodies to a higher standard than Andrew Perloff. You are
Well, The Rock better
relentless.
Be chiseled.
When LeBron James had his commercial that was on TV when he did that Nordic track kind of thing.
Not tonal.
And LeBron. And Perloff's man, he looks horrible in that commercial. He's got a 10-pack. He's literally shirtless on TV. There's no way they're going to make him look bad. He's he's really let himself go. I'm like, yeah. Like LeBron's home scarfing down some Papa John's pizzas and then going out to a commercial shoot. Not happening.
Just saying. I don't know. He should shoot those during the season when he's in shape. That's all I'm saying. The Rock in Vegas was not in shape. I'm just saying it. I'm going to pull visual evidence. You guys will see what I'm saying.
Delta 9's in the chat says, Maggie's eyes are going to roll out of her head when she watches Captain America Civil War. If I rolled my eyes over that.
You're actually going to like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I hate all these movies.
That's a very well-received movie. I would say that's probably got
10-year-olds?
Like a 90 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Give me a break.
Are you talking about Paw Patrol? Or are you talking about a Captain America movie? What are you talking about?
Paw Patrol sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know
about that.
There's so many better cartoons.
Guy.
Wait a minute. I have to watch 50 hours a day.
I thought you meant the movie. You're saying Paw Patrol in general? It's what are you talking about?
Have you guys watched an episode of Paw Patrol?
Yes, I have.
I've seen every episode of Paw Patrol.
It's the worst.
Why is it the worst?
There's no interaction at all between the kid. All the characters suck.
The jokes
are lame.
Are you kidding me? And they're all rock.
Also, hello everyone in, what's it called? Bay City? No, it's called Adventure Bay.
Right.
You haven't found out anyone to take down the other mayor except for some freaking dogs. It's so...
Yeah, hold on.
That's an accomplishment.
Wait. So you don't like those dogs? I thought everybody liked those dogs. They're all lovable characters.
I love those dogs.
Okay, now, the two issues I have is one that the mayor's best friend is a chicken.
Yeah, that's so weird. Why did you get the chicken in her purse?
The other thing is, if you ever, the timing seems a little weird. Like there's an out of control avalanche and a car is going down and they're like, and then they go to headquarters and have a 10-minute meeting on how to save this and somehow fly across the country and get there in time to save it.
The timing's a bit off. There, but Paw Patrol, you can go from all these different climates in a matter of seconds. So you go to the avalanche, then all of a sudden you're going to be on a beach. It makes no sense.
It's like Denver, minus the beach part.
A different city. I mean,
Different city.
It's like Denver.
Chase is on the case. I don't know. You know, Sky is a feminist icon in the dog world. The pilot.
She drives a helicopter?
Yeah, she is a
rock
star.
She's the Caitlin Clark of female dogs.
Yeah.
Right. What's not to like about that?
What cartoon do you? If you don't like Paw Patrol, I don't even want to know what you're going to say about Octonauts.
Puppy Dog Pals.
Give me a little Blaze and the Monster Machines. One, wow. 2, 3, let's Blaze.
Ooh, oh, there it is.
Funny. DJ Khaled was like a guest
voice.
Any
more weed jokes in Paw Patrol?
Okay.
Puppy Dog do the remix.
Is that a newer show, Blaze? I've never heard of that one.
Blaze rocks.
By the way, Andrew, where's the Islander score? I didn't
write this update.
Well, you should have the Islander score still there.
I was not allowed to add anything. Did you listen to the show?
Well, you should have it.
I had to read what EJ gave me, except for gosh. I didn't say gosh, EJ. I'm sorry. I couldn't bring myself to say gosh.
Good. Okay. It was a very well done update.
I'll say
all right,
it.
So punishment paid. So that's three down with one to go. EJ is king for a day. I got my punishment. Perloff got his. And all of us by extension.
I have an objection.
And then Bogus just got his. Now Bilotti's the last man standing.
Where's Kaplan's? Kaplan was upset that he was left off the standings. Why is he not? Why he wanted to be part of that?
Yeah.
I'm in second. I'm in third. Why is he not being punished now?
We probably should punish him. Is he in today? Cap, are you
good
here?
Good question.
Do you remember when Nick in Texas, who organized the bracket, called in with updates the other day and left Cap and Bilotti off?
Amazing.
Yeah, good job, Nick.
It was great.
Get lost.
And he tagged Andrew Bogut in the post.
Yeah. The center for the Warriors. He's amazing.
Good guy.
Yes. Bogut wakes up in Australia. He's just like, the hell?
The funny thing is he kept tagging Pete in all the posts, and then he didn't mention him on air.
It was
classic. You had to run out. Bilotti's face was amazing.
When did this happen? Did I black out?
I've been here since the network didn't exist.
And you now will be here for a new network.
Yeah.
As we all hoped.
Thanks, Nick.
Andrew Bogut getting tagged is awesome. Well, Nick says sorry.
No, we love Nick. Nick's awesome.
Nick's the best.
The best.
Nick's awesome. He really is. Do you want to come up with something for Kaplan?
We got some time. Yeah.
Take a quick break. We've got lots more to do, including we've got an update for you on Tiger Woods. Do that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Little update for you from Augusta. Tiger Woods right now, even through 16. He's still finishing out the round from yesterday, though. He's now tied for 29th place. This is going to be a really difficult day for Tiger, considering how it just broke wrong for him. You know, the weather was terrible yesterday, got delayed, couldn't finish the round. So now he's got to play, 23 holes in one day.
Yeah, I mean, the wind is still, that we can actually see right now, is blowing really hard. It's supposed to get insane later this afternoon. Here in New York and in Augusta, I saw 40 miles an hour. It's weird to me. Golf tournaments depend so much on the timing of when you tee off.
Oh, yeah.
It seems unfair, but at least day one and day two, I'm rooting for Tiger just to prove you guys wrong. I hope he finishes 4 days because I feel like we're divided into teams that you guys think Tiger should hang it up. But I think that if he gets close enough, there's just going to be so much adrenaline going through that old man's body. He's not even old.
Well, his body's old, though.
Yeah, his body's old. But I think like the competition can fuel him to an extent where he can ignore the ankle, the knee, the back. Maybe I'm just an idealist here, but I think there's another Tiger run coming. Probably not this year, but I'm telling you, at some point, we're going to hear from this man again.
So Bryson DeChambeau is going to tee off right around noon, and he's the leader at 7-under, with Scottie Scheffler tees off just before 2 o'clock, and he is second. He's 6-under par. You want to know what's funny about this? I'm looking at the leaderboard for the Masters, and I'm seeing, Phil Mickelson.
No.
We have not talked about, there was a 6 months where we only talked about Phil Mickelson because of all the LIV golf, and
yeah,
he was in the news every single day. I feel like he's getting absolutely no coverage whatsoever. He is going to tee off just a little before 1 o'clock. He's one over, tied for 38th place.
I keep
right
hearing
Brooks Koepka and John Rahm.
He's super skinny right now, right? That's the big headline on him. Or something, he's in really good shape again. Yeah, you know, it's funny, the LIV PGA conflict gets a lot of headlines. To me, that all kind of goes away once the Masters start. Once the majors, because obviously casual fans jumping on the majors. Like, is anyone really, do you care about the LIV PGA split? Or like, I know there's a lot of controversy going on right now. It feels like none of that matters the day the first ball is hit.
Well, also, I think there is a lot of controversy, but some of it sort of went away when LIV acquired the PGA. So,
well,
like,
right, but they're fighting big time right now over some ridiculous amount of money.
No, I get that, but that you're going to lose me with that.
Because yeah, yeah.
Millionaires fighting over billions of dollars I could care less about, but I do care about the future of the sport. And once, you know, Rory had drawn his line in the sand, and Tiger and some of the PGA guys were very loyal, and then the PGA kind of sold them out, you know, and they joined LIV anyway. And it kind of took a lot of the steam out of that entire story.
Well, I think the whole LIV PGA thing, the day that the major said the LIV guys can compete in our tournaments, I think after that, if they had said, if the Masters had said, if you go to LIV, you can't be here, then I don't think Brooks Koepka and those guys go over. But once they said that, then why not take the money? Like, who cares about the, not who cares about the PGA tournaments, but that was such a huge issue.
Coming up, we've got a lot more to do, including what was one of the biggest stories, maybe of the year. O.J. Simpson passed away 2 days ago. Get our thoughts on that in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.